Proverbs 16:9, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. It doesn't say in this verse that a man should not devise his way in his heart. He does do that. It says he does. That's all it says. It doesn't say that's a bad thing. It doesn't specify whether the man's devices here are good or evil. If a man doesn't know the Lord, then all of his devices are evil. That's all we do and all we are without the Lord Jesus Christ. Even the good, so-called good, that a lost man does or devises to do even, is evil. It has evil motive. It's either in a religious sense, it's done in order to establish a righteousness before God, self-righteousness, which is one of the things that God most hates. Or it's done for some gain, to go to heaven when you die, selfishness, not for the glory of God. A lost man can't do anything but devise evil and do evil. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And faith, all faith, is in Christ. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ by God-given faith, we say that a lot, God-given faith, because whenever we talk about faith, we want to be reminded that faith is not something you're born with or something you can come up with. It is the gift of God, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. God-given faith. Without that, faith in Christ, we know what kind of devices are in your heart. Evil ones. The imagination, God saw what in Noah's day? The imagination of man's heart was only evil continually. That's all of us without Christ. Now, a righteous man, which of course is a man who does know Christ, who is in Christ by God's will and purpose and power, who has God-given faith in Christ, may devise good. We see that in the scripture quite a bit. The performance of it won't be good in the sense of perfect, meritorious goodness or righteousness. We can't do anything up to God's standard. We can't do anything that measures up. Well, we can want to, though. You know where I'm going, don't you? Romans chapter 7. Listen to it. Paul said in Romans 7:18, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." I'm still in this flesh, and in this flesh, I can't do anything good. I want to, though, by the grace of God. One of God's covenant promises is, I'll put my law in your heart. It's not just a standard on cold stone that you have to measure up to. It'll be something you're going to want with all your heart to measure up to because you love him, because you desire his glory. He saved you. He's everything to you. To will is present with me. He told them in the garden. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And then Paul went on to say, for the good that I would, I do not, but I would. So you can devise good in your heart, and you can do relative good. It's relatively better for you to worship God this morning than to do whatever, you know, would have promoted your flesh or your flesh desired. That's relatively good. It won't measure up to God's holiness. There's sin even in our worship. But it's better, isn't it? And it's only by God's grace that we do, that we can worship at all. The point is this: there are various devices in a man's heart, virtuous or not. depending on whether you know the Lord or not. But a man does devise his way. We do that. His way here is his road or his direction. He makes a plan. Man purposes things in his heart. He decides things. I'm going to do this. He plans. He sets goals. He determines to do certain things. What we're going to do. And that in and of itself is not a bad thing. There's nothing wrong with that. We should do that. We should plan to do things. We're not to understand from our text that what there's two things that we shouldn't see in this text because it's just not there. We are not to understand from our text that what is exclusively meant here is that God directs only good people's steps. And some do say that this means that God just directs good people's steps. And the reason they say that is in an attempt to defend God against accusation of being complicit in the evil that men do. You see, if he directs the steps of evil men and they do evil, then God, they say, would be complicit in their evil. God doesn't need you to defend him. We need him to defend us. It doesn't say that in this text. Nor are we to understand from our text that God only overrules the steps of a wicked man to prevent him from doing bad things. He does do that. But that's not, this text is not exclusively saying that. And because in this sense that some say that he overrules what bad people do, but he just lets good people do what they're going to do, you know, because they're good. They don't need any direction. That's not it either. Clearly. And anybody that knows the Lord wants him to direct our steps, don't we? How many times did David pray that? And elsewhere in the scripture, listen to him in Psalm 139:23. Search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That word lead there, it doesn't mean, look, there's the way everlasting. It means bring me that way. That's the only way you're going in the way everlasting, if God takes hold of you and brings you. No man can come except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Psalm 141:3, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Have you ever prayed that? Keep the door of my lips. Don't let me say anything that's dishonoring to you. I'll do it 1,000 times a day. Unless you control that and not me. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties. Don't let me do it, Lord. Don't let me go. Of course, sinners hate this truth, because they complain that it makes man a puppet and things like that. I'm sure you've heard that. If God controls us all and everything, that just makes us a puppet. Well, I'll tell you this. You're somebody's puppet. Somebody is controlling. They say, oh, that violates man's free will. Free will is a myth. And the sooner you know it, the better. Saul of Tarsus, now the Apostle Paul, he's praising God Almighty continually and will forever for violating his will. And you will too if he violates yours. His will had him on the direct road to hell. And God arrested him and saved him. And me too. I've noticed, I know, I still know a lot of religious people because I used to be in godless, free will, Christ-hating religion. They're not going to tell you that they hate Christ, but they hate this Christ, and there ain't but one. so I don't hesitate to call them Christ-hating. If you think that salvation is up to your free will, you hate the Son of God. That's your problem. It's the same problem we had in the garden. It hadn't changed. But I've noticed that even religious people that hate the truth of the sovereignty of God, they still love to say, God's in control. God's in control. They say that all the time. I know a bunch of them. Still try to be their friend. God is in control when they need him to be. Well, bad things are happening, and it's horrible. It looks so, but God's in control. He's going to work it all out for me, you know. He's going to. But then, when it comes to whether God can save who he wants to save and damn who he wants to damn, then all of a sudden you're in control to them. That's not the God of this Bible. They say that can't be true because it violates man's free will. That, you're not going to find that in the Bible now. You're either Satan's puppet or you're God's. And that's clearly, clearly, unambiguously taught in the Word of God. Man's free will is a myth. And our text is just one of the many places in Scripture where we're taught this. A man plans, he devises, and that's good. I've got plans for tomorrow, and I hope you do too. Don't just go through life drifting on a sea without direction. You know, there's a sense in which we just commit our way to the Lord and whatever, you know, we say, if the Lord will, and we're going to see that in a minute. And that's fine, but have some direction. God may well overrule it, and if he does, praise him for it. You're fixing to mess up, weren't you? If God changed it, he's smart, and you're not. Listen to Jeremiah 10:23. O Lord, I know, and this is only known by the grace of God, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Man walks, but he ain't the one calling the steps. And I know that too, by God's grace. I know that. That's why I don't say what James said don't say. I don't want to say it. And by God's grace, I'm not going to say, I'm going to go do this, I'll do that. James said don't say that. We'll see that in a minute. Listen to Psalm 37:23, and I'm not having you turn. If you want to turn quickly, you can. Psalm 37:23, but we've only got 10 minutes, so listen. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Now that text is used by at least one commentator that I trust to say that our text is just talking about good people. He don't direct the steps of bad people. He don't do that. Well, of course he does. A man, if you're a man, or mankind, he's directing your steps, no matter what your plans are. But listen, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. But if you look at that Psalm 37:23, you'll notice that the word good is in italics. It's not in the original. So I looked up that word man, and you know what it means? A strong man, a mighty man, a willful man, a proud man. And so what it's simply saying is that it means to show oneself mighty or proud. I'm going to boast. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And I'm able to do it. Boy, I'm strong. I can do whatever I want to do. God is directing your steps too. No matter how strong, no matter how mighty, no matter how proud, no matter how determined you are controlled by God. And I am too. They translated it good man, likely because of the last part of the verse where it says, and he delighteth in his way. Sounds like he's talking about, you know, his elect. But what it's simply saying is this. He delighteth in their way, that just means that it's God's pleasure being done and not yours. It doesn't matter what kind of man you are, how big and mighty and bold and strong and able and determined and proud, God is directing your steps and he's doing it for his pleasure, not your pleasure. That's Psalm 37:23. The outcome is what he wants it to be, not what you want it to be. And if you know him, you're real happy about that. Real happy about that. And the thing about it is, if I'm his, then whatever his good pleasure is, that's my good pleasure too. And that works out real good, doesn't it? He does what he wants. And what he wants is what I want. That works out great. But regardless, whether that works out great for you or not, God is in control. Religion loves to say that. I mean it, by God's grace. God's in control of you, me, everything, everybody. He doeth all things after the counsel of his own will. He raises up one and puts down another. You can't roll a pair of dice, but he determines what comes up. It's nothing is up to you. As much as really, they're saying it this morning. It's up to you. God's done all he can do, and that's up to you. And here we are, those of us who know him are saying, thank God nothing's up to me. You'd mess up something that can't be messed up if it had anything to do with you. You'd mess it up. So James 14:13, we could talk a long time about it. Turn to that one with me if you would. We got a few minutes left. James 4:13. Did I say 14:13? There ain't 14 chapters in James, so don't try to turn to that. James 4:13. James 4:13. Listen to this now. And this is just, look, this isn't deep theological doctrines and theories and, you know, this is just everyday simple stuff. This is just what you're going to do the rest of this day, what you're going to do while you're here, what you're going to do tomorrow. He said, go to now, you that say, today or tomorrow, we'll do this. And listen, that go to now, that literally means, come on now. Come on now, you that say that. What are you talking about, in other words? What are you talking about? Come on now. That's what that means. Look it up. Come on now, you that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Listen, four things are being said there. Where I'm going to go, how long I'm going to be there, what I'm going to do when I get there, and what the outcome is of what I do is going to be. Don't even talk about that stuff that way. I will, I will, I will. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. You don't know what God's going to do. That's what it's saying. You don't know what's going to happen because you don't determine what's going to happen. We talk like we do. We act like we do. We think we do. But it ain't up to us. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Come on now. Here's what you ought to say. If the Lord will, not we will, not I will, if the Lord will, we shall live. You may not be going anywhere tomorrow. You might not even be alive tomorrow. If the Lord will, we shall live and do this, or we may do that. It's going to be according to God's will. And we ought to talk like that. I know that we use everyday common language and we say, I'm going to go to the store. So tomorrow I'm going to, you know, work on the, I'm going to fix that toilet tomorrow. You know, I've been saying that for a while. I'm glad Vicky's not in here. The Lord's directing my step. No, we can't use that as an excuse. It's not an excuse, is it? Oh boy, we blame everything on God, don't we? If we could get away with it, we would. But listen now. Come on now. But now you rejoice in your boastings. People do, don't they? They got big plans. And again, there's nothing wrong with having plans as long as you're able to bow to God's will in that thing. In specific thing, bow to his will in it. If God will. And that's everyday stuff. And that's in salvation too. Lord, if you will, you can save me. There's nothing I can do about my problem. There's nothing I can do about my sin. It's not up to me. Lord, if you want to save me, you can save me. Will you save me? Have mercy on me. To refuse, and listen, all such rejoicing is evil. It's evil. You know better. That's why he's saying, come on now. People know better than that. To refuse to acknowledge God's sovereign will, power, discretion, and to submit your will to his, to refuse to do that, is evil. That's what our text is talking about now. I can plan and devise, and there's nothing wrong with that. It may be good, it may be bad. If it's bad, there's something wrong with it. But in and of itself, making plans and determining things, there's nothing wrong with that. But understand this. Don't boast. Don't be boasting about what you're going to do and what you're not going to do. Simon did that, didn't he? I'm not going to deny you. I will never deny. Don't start boasting about it. It's evil. It's not a misunderstanding, you know, because people say, oh, the doctrine of God's sovereignty is too complicated for me. That's too complicated. We don't, you know. How can God's sovereignty and man's responsibility, you know, how can you reconcile the two? Well, I want to say three things about that before I close, and I don't have near enough time to do it. I got 1 minute, but listen. First of all, you don't have to reconcile things that are in perfect agreement with one another. What you do have to do is trust God. Just because you don't understand something doesn't mean it can't be true. Believe God. You're dumb and he's omniscient. Believe him. Secondly, it's not complicated at all. God's on the throne and you aren't. Does that confuse anybody? Regardless of what man has thought since the fall, you're not on the throne. He is. You don't run things. He does. God does as he pleases. You do not. And thank God it's that way. Man's will is defined by the evil of the cross. We murdered God. It doesn't get worse than that. God's will is seen in the eternal, infinite good and glory of the cross. He gave himself for sinners. Thirdly, here's what you do. See if this confuses you at all. Here's what you do. Seeing that God is sovereign, here's what you do. Bow. Fall at his feet and worship him as that leper in Matthew 8. If you will, you can make me clean. Listen, and behold, there came a leper and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. That word worship there means to kiss the hand, but it's pronounced proskuneo. Proskuneo in the Greek, and that prosku, the ku part, means dog. Here's Strong's definition of it: to kiss, like a dog licking his master's hand. Which brings me to the second thing you do. Believe him and trust him. If he says you're a dog, you say, truth, Lord, can I be your dog? If he says you're a worm, what do you say? That's right. If he says you're a sinner, you know what you say? God, be merciful to me. I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me. The third thing is this: give him the glory in everything. Him being sovereign means he gets the glory. That's what it means. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast or glory. God gets it. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. In other words, salvation's of the Lord from start to finish. And the next question is this: where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No. If you say, I did, you know, the Lord did all he could do, but I, you know, I had to pick up the slack, then you're glorying in the flesh. God doesn't save sinners that way. 1 Corinthians 1:26, and this is the last thing I'll say. You see your calling, brethren, you who know the Lord this morning, not many wise men after the flesh. Most of us are idiots, aren't we? God might have saved a wise man here and there. It wasn't this one. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, and yea, things which are not. They're nothing. Nothings. He chose a bunch of nothings to bring to naught the things that are in their own eyes, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Now you think about his sovereignty. He runs everything and everybody. And when he saved people, he saved who he wanted to save, and he saved the worst of the worst, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us, wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. That's not complicated, is it? Bow, trust him, believe him, and give him all of the glory. All of it. He's going to get it anyway, whether you like it or not. And by his grace, I kind of like it. Let's pray.